is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Rome, the conqueror of the known world 2,000 years ago. Rome, institutions that we in America live with and live upon. Rome versus the Jews. Or as Barry Strauss, Professor Emeritus, Cornell University, has it, Jews versus Rome. I like reversing the order. Two centuries of rebellion against the world's mightiest empire, you bet. And we're going to go right into it. A man named Josephus commands the defense of a city called Jotapata. This is in Galilee, in the north of what is now Israel. Professor, congratulations. Wonderful. We're swimming right into it with Josephus commanding the defense of Jotapata from a Roman attack led by a man named Vespasian. At this moment in his life, Josephus, born approximately 37. Who is he? What is he? What do we need to know about him? And why do we depend upon him so much to tell this story? Good evening to you, Barry.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here. So Josephus is our most important source for the revolt against Rome, and indeed for Jewish history, for much of antiquity. He was a Jew. He was a member of the priestly class. And on his mother's side, he was descended. He was of royal descent, highly educated man. Earlier in his life, before the revolt, he had gone on a mission to Rome, representing Judea, as ancient Israel is called in this period, and bringing home some prisoners, Jewish prisoners who had been imprisoned in Rome, and meeting the high and mighty in Rome. So he was part of the group in Israel that worked with the Romans and not against them. But when the revolt came in 66, he joined the revolt. He's our most important source of information about it, because after the revolt, he wrote a book, which we call The Jewish War, A History of the Revolt. And then later on, he wrote an even longer book called The Antiquities of the Jews, A History of the World, especially the Jewish world, from the creation to just on the eve of the revolt. And then he wrote a very short biography of his life. That's the good news. The bad news is that there are many contradictions in these various works. And the official story, or at least the story that we get in the Jewish War, is that Josephus was appointed to be the general commanding the north, commanding Galilee, against the anticipated Roman attack to put down the rebellion. Later on in the life, he makes it sound as if his real mission was to convince the Jews in the north to stop this insane idea of rebelling against Rome, and he was actually working against it. And we humble historians today have to try to weave our way through these different stories. One thing is clear, though. In the summer of the year 67, Josephus was the general in charge of defending the small city of Jotapata in Galilee against attack by the Roman legions, led by the commanding general himself, a man named Vespasian.
The name of the town is going to allow us a door into what took place for the last 200 years before the defense of Jotapata. Jotapata is not a Hebrew name. I believe it's Persian. Is that right,
Professor? Yes, it seems to be a Persian name, which might seem surprising since Iran is not around the corner of ancient Israel, but shouldn't be surprising because for much of its history, Judea had been a Persian province, a province of the Persian Empire, the Achaemenid Persian Empire. The Jews had been liberated from exile in Babylonia by Cyrus the Great, the founder of this empire. To this day, Cyrus is a revered figure in Judaism. For two centuries or so, Judea was a Persian province. But more recently, only about a century or so before this revolt, Judea had briefly been under Persian rule again, this time by a later Persian empire called the Parthian Empire. And there were many Jews in Judea and elsewhere who looked to the Parthian Empire rather than to Rome. So large Jewish population that continued to live mostly in Iraq under Parthian rule. Lots of contact back and forth across the border. So not surprising to find a town here that has a name with Persian roots.
picture the map, and Israel's in the middle, or Judea's in the middle. To the west is Rome, and spinning out across the Mediterranean basin. To the east is Parthia, and being in the middle is an advantage and a disadvantage, because as we will see over the next century, you play them off against each other. But back to Jotapata. Vespasian is the Roman commander of the legions. Who is he at this moment?
He was a top general, an experienced man who had fought in Britain, conquering Britain, putting down revolts there. Nero chose him to lead the expedition against the rebellion, both because Vespasian was a experienced general and also because Nero did not consider him to be a threat. Vespasian didn't seem to have political ambitions, and if he did, he could hardly carry them out because he did not come from the Roman nobility. He came from a family that we would call bourgeois, middle class, from the Sabine country north of Rome. From the point of view of the Roman nobility, he looked like a peasant, and Nero wasn't particularly threatened by him as he had been by other generals. There had already been a revolt against Nero, so Nero was nervous about threats, but he thought Vespasian was safe, so he sent him to put down the rebellion.
And my understanding is that Nero was on again, off again, rational. One of the things he was most keen on was destroying anyone who had a claim to his throne, including especially relatives. However, at this moment, Nero is looking at the pride, the honor, the credibility of his reign. He's a young man, because the Jewish rebellion meant that guerrilla force had destroyed one of his legions. What happened?
So the previous year in 66, the governor of Syria, who was an older man, probably past his prime, had led an expedition to put down this rebellion in Jerusalem. The rebels had massacred a Roman garrison, not a legionary garrison, but a garrison of local troops fighting for Rome. And they had also prohibited sacrifices in the temple on behalf of sacrifices by foreigners. Now, one of the chief ways that Judea showed its loyalty to Rome was having daily sacrifices on behalf of the Roman emperor. These sacrifices were paid for by Rome. They're instituted by Augustus. So these two things were a declaration of war against Rome. The rebels began issuing their own coinage. Never before had rebels issued silver coinage of their own. So this really seemed to be a threat. And Nero and any Roman with a sense of geostrategy would immediately think Parthia. These guys are going to betray us and go over to the side of Parthia, and we cannot have that, because Parthia was Rome's one great rival left standing, the one other empire in the ancient world who the Romans both loathed and feared. So there are big things at stake in this small rebellion.
We've started at Jotapata in 67 with Josephus, because Josephus tells almost all the critical details of the story that he witnessed or heard about first, secondhand. And he also has within him the previous two centuries of history of Jerusalem and the Jews that give everyone who defended Jotapata and the other parts of Galilee and also Jerusalem itself hope. And that was the Maccabees. What did that represent to the rebels when they talked about the Maccabees?
Yeah, so the Maccabee revolt, which began more than two centuries earlier, in 168, the Maccabees had rebelled against the Seleucid Empire, the Greco-Syrian Empire, which controlled Judea at this time. They rebelled against them, and they also rebelled against a different faction of Jews, so-called Hellenizers, Jews who wanted to bring Judea into the modern world, the Greek-speaking pagan world. The Maccabees said no. They wanted to put a stop to this. And to make a long story short, they successfully defeated the Seleucid Empire and were able to turn Judea into an independent state for the first time in centuries. And for about a century, the Jews enjoyed this luxury of being an independent state.
You might notice that the Jews rebel a lot. It doesn't matter who the other side is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? Because they wanted to be left alone to worship as they please, which is what the Persians knew about them, and that was very successful. The Romans, yes, on the other hand, tend to be extremely aggressive. We'll review quickly. There's Augustus, formerly Octavian, after Caesar's death. There's Tiberius. There's Caligula, who's a catastrophe because he insists upon a statue of Roman paganism in the temple. There's Claudius, who is also not entirely successful as calming the anxiety of the Jews. But then comes Nero, who's a catastrophe, which is where we started. Now, the twist here, Josephus commands the defense of Jotapata. It's defeated by Vespasian. And then how does Josephus get out of it?
Yeah, so this is a great story. Josephus and about 40 other leaders of the rebellion are in an underground shelter, and they decide they should commit suicide, that the noble and heroic thing to do is commit suicide rather than be taken prisoner by Rome. Josephus tries to talk them out of it, but he fails. And they draw lots as to who should kill the other first, and the last man would kill himself. And either by astonishing good fortune or by manipulation, and we don't know, Josephus is one of the last two men left standing. And he says to his comrade, look, buddy, you know, let's live. And so they choose to live and they surrender to the Romans. And then they're brought in chains before the commander. And as remarkable as that was, what happens next is even more remarkable. Josephus convinces Vespasian not to send him off to Rome to the tender mercies of Nero, because he hails Vespasian as the emperor. And he plays the card. He's a priest. He has a lot of religious experience, very religious man in many ways, Josephus is. And he says, you know, I have a vision and you're going to be the emperor. And so Vespasian says, let's keep this guy alive. We'll keep him in chains, but we'll keep him around. I won't send him off to Nero.
If you're still with us, this is all Josephus' story, okay?
Yes.
You think it's fantastic. It's going to get another twist when we come back. Barry Strauss, this is Jews versus Rome, 2 centuries of rebellion, more than that, but 2 centuries of rebellion against the mightiest empire that ever existed until probably the 21st century. But we turn now to Josephus's Whoppers. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.